Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Q&R. Today we have Pastor Adam and Pastor Wayne.
Tip number one, do not get Megan tickled right before we go live.
I'm trying real hard to keep it together, y'all. And we have Pastor Lou in the comments. And so if you're here with us today, we would love for you to just jot him a note, let him know, say hello, hi. You all, school started today. I'm so excited. So for all y'all parents out there, I hope that you survived getting your kid to school and hope you're enjoying your day with them at school. And I hope you have a good night tonight when they get home and they're exhausted and they don't want to do anything that they are supposed to do. But anyway, so yes, I'm pretty excited. So happy first day of school to all our Warren County folks. But we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you joined us. And talking about school here at Broadway, we sort of roll with the school calendar. So in the summer when school's out, we have a lot of more standalone sermons, or we're doing these sermon series where, but they don't build on one another necessarily.
Right.
So we sort of, and we've been in the Old Testament all year, all year. And then this past Sunday, as we sort of are launching everybody getting back in the rhythm, we have a Sunday of celebration where we celebrate our mission, invite, grow, serve, where we celebrate things that have sort of happened in this past year and then turn and look forward to what's coming ahead, correct?
Right.
Yeah. You want to say anything
about
that?
We've been using the words innovation and renovation as far as looking ahead. I mean, there's clear ways that God's at work, and we're just trying to, it's nothing new. It's just trying to take steps continually in the direction of our community partners or starting businesses that are really kind of flipping how we think about our local economy and providing jobs and just really the whole purpose of that, of what we're doing ministry-wise is to not just kind of try to make a quick fix, but a long-term one. And then with our facilities at Broadway, we've just really been feeling like for a long time, we need to do something. And so that's coming. So we kind of let people know to be watching for that in the next months or so, so that we can decide together how to unite and build and continue to invite more people. So those are exciting things.
We kind of celebrated the things God does that we kind of take for granted,
right,
just in terms of relationships and encounters, which is the primary way. Reminded each other that the primary way God works is in the normal and the ordinary moments. And sometimes we stop and we look back and we can recognize that better than we do in the moment. But I think the goal is to become aware of God's presence in all those moments,
right,
so that it's not when it's over, but in the midst of it, we remember, God is in this moment, in this place, in this conversation, or whatever. So we celebrated some of those ordinary moments, but also some of those that were intentional and some that were not so intentional. So it's that was a reminder to us as we get ready to start a new series.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our new series, which is, I wrote it down, the heart of this story. We are now in the New Testament for the next couple of months, and we will be in the book of John. They told you last week. They probably shouldn't have, but they did anyway, that it is 10 weeks we will be in the book of John, where we will be learning about Jesus in John. And
right.
So do you all want to sort of set up this series for us a little bit? Tell us what we can be looking forward to?
Sure. Yeah.
Since you asked.
And
totally unscripted and did not plan that at all.
When we say we're sorry we told you it was only 10 weeks.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
People
wish it were longer.
Yeah, I'm
right.
Sure by the time it's over, they'll be wishing.
But you know what? We can make the sermons themselves longer.
That's a possibility.
And that people will get all they want then.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Maybe we're not.
Yeah.
We'll think about that. But it is a exploration of the different people and groups that encountered Jesus, as John tells us the stories, and the impact that encounter had in their lives, how they responded to him, and how he interacted with them. And hopefully, through that process, learn some more about how this encounter with Jesus works in our own lives, what it looks like, and the kind of implications it has for us, and the possibilities that are part of it. And in John, it reads very different from the other Gospels, which are more straightforward in terms of things that happened and the things he said. And John, there's a lot of abstract kind of stuff. The
layers.
Right, yeah. And so it reminds us that there is a lot of mystery. And so this is not about, and hopefully the series will not be about transmitting information as much as it will be about inviting people into these kind of encounters and walking into whatever it looks like to follow Jesus and to know him.
So this is story two. The whole kind of overarching theme of the year is enter the story. And we've been saying since January in Genesis that that the same story that we're telling in the Bible is still unfolding. This is our story.
Right.
And sort of a reminder that sometimes when we use the word story, people ask, well, is it just a story? And that's not how we're using that at all. We mean like God interacting with people. We find ourselves in the very same situation as the people in the Bible.
Right.
You know, God's the one who drives that story. It's his story and the one who is most invested in that story.
Right.
So I remember all the way back in January, I had sort of this call to worship and how we began worship every Sunday, that the same God who spoke worlds into existence is speaking our name. And that's sort of a transition to John. We come to the sort of the middle of the Bible or after the middle of the Bible, and then John, you know, gets us there again.
Right.
Sort of has a very different beginning than the other Gospels.
Yes. I thought y'all were going to... Go ahead.
He starts off in the first chapter, in the beginning, which is an echo of Genesis 1. And so I think that kind of the point there is that this is the same story, that this is not starting over. It's not like God gave up at the end of the Old Testament, but this has always been where the story was going. God's plan was always to find us. He never imagined letting us wander so far away that he could not find us. And so it's not like, well, the law didn't work, so now I'm going to try this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And this Word, we find out, becomes flesh and lives among us.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's heart for his people was always the same. And so that helps us understand the Old Testament a little differently than if you just start at Genesis and you read through. And so there really is this sense in which the story, the life of Jesus, changes how we see the Old Testament.
Right.
And because he is the heart of the story. This is where it was always going. It's not plan B. This was always what God had in mind.
Well, you said that was helpful to me just now, because I've heard some version of that before. I think, you know, I heard it in a seminary. It's not like this Jesus was plan B, like, oh, God was surprised. But even with that, we try to think of this chronologically, you know, and because we are reading it, I mean, in history, it is chronological.
Right.
And we are trying to make sense of how God is responding to different things that have happened throughout that history. But the core thing, I mean, what I hear you saying, the core thing is that God is the same, the intention is the same, the motivation is the same, and it doesn't, you know, the circumstances of history, if you want to put it that way, they do nothing to derail that. I mean, God's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
And so this is God just continuing to push through that plan, that purpose, to stop at nothing, to lean into it.
Yeah. I think we talked at the beginning of the story that God, you know, you kind of have these stories in Genesis where God is kind of testing out what's this going to be like. I mean, you know, in a
metaphorical
way, with Adam and Eve who rebel, with the world who they, you know, he ends up with the flood and Noah, and then the Tower of Babel and all this stuff. And at the end of all those things, God's all in. He's not giving up, and he chooses Abraham. And in that choice, he finds a man who is all in as well. And that's what I think Isaac, the story of Isaac on the mountain, is about. You know, not will Abraham give up his son, but how is Abraham all in on this story too? And ever since then, God has been relentlessly demonstrating that he has more invested in this story, there's no question of what he will do, whatever it takes to find us, to bring us home, to recreate what he intended in the beginning. And so when we get to Jesus, we discover, wow, far will he go, mm-hmm. as far as it takes to become mm-hmm. flesh and blood and lay in a manger to be subject to the powers of men mm-hmm. and to die on a cross. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it takes, he will do that to find us. And so is the heart of the story is the same message that the Old Testament tells us, but now, you know, like on steroids,
yeah,
kind of things.
In the flesh, as right. we say, literally. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now we would say the same word that spoke creation into existence is walking around
yeah.
and interacting with us and revealing right. God to us in a way that nobody expected.
Right.
One of the great things that, you know, I think when you read through the Bible, and especially for those of you, I'm going to keep encouraging people who have read through the, you know, reading through the Old Testament. I'm like 3 days behind again. Yeah. I mean, it just happened so fast.
Yeah.
I had to go to Honduras and catch up, and now I'm, you know. That's just being real. So yeah. that, so... Right. You feel it. If you read through the Old Testament, I mean, we're reading through Jeremiah now, yeah. like, it's hard not to get depressed.
Right.
It really
yeah.
is so, so hard.
Yeah.
This is coming back reinterpreting the whole story.
Right.
I mean, Jesus puts it all, the rest of it, into perspective,
right.
and it's yeah. almost like you got to go back and read.
Yeah.
So Jesus happens in a way, ironically, in the middle of the Bible. But somebody said, you know, to read the Bible, you need to hold up the Gospels like this in the middle, and then you need to read backward everything that happened
yeah.
before, and then read forward everything that happens after.
Yeah.
And so we read the Bible, and the way John sets it up, and
yeah.
you know, this is actually how we're going to read it
right.
in the beginning. Was the word, and you're like, oh, was that in the beginning? Got to go back, and we got to start looking
right.
for, and then all the way through that whole story, Abraham and Moses, and you
right.
know the kings and the ups and the downs and
right.
the exile, and so like John the Baptist in John 1 says, he's the voice of one calling in the wilderness, and he draws on that story of they're looking for this path back to
right.
God and where God is at the center of their life. And he's like, this is happening, and
yeah.
it's happening in the flesh now,
right.
in Jesus.
Yeah.
But you can't make this stuff up,
yeah.
you know? So, like, who would have just in their own mind thought that the Word of God that existed in the beginning has now become a person? Like,
yeah.
you just can't make that up.
Right.
I mean, it's just
yeah.
this beautiful thing and this
yeah.
powerful thought that that this is God personified.
Yeah.
And has been there from the very beginning.
Right. And if you read that, if you go back to the Old Testament and look at that, you can see all those places where God was giving hints and glimpses and whispers about who he was.
Right.
That they, you know, it was just almost impossible for them to catch that because they lived in a world where there was so much hatred and violence and struggle to survive. And so...
Fortunately, that's not a problem for us today, right?
Right? Yeah,
we
right.
get
it's
it.
It's so much easier for us, right? Life is easy now. So, but once we have that picture of God, it makes a difference in all that darkness and struggle that we go through.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, they were grasping, I think, at this understanding that this God made covenant with them, and he was committed to them, but they couldn't envision what that really looked like.
Mm-hmm.
They had pictures in the temple when God dwelled there, and in a king who had, you know, when they had a nation and God was protecting them from their enemies, they had these glimpses and these whispers, but the full extent of it comes in Jesus. And then as you go through John and you read these encounters and you see people begin to wrestle with this, is this God? Is this what God would do? Is this what he would look like? And what that, how they try to hear that full proclamation of the word in their lives. It's really, you know, a powerful story. But at the same time, it's not as clear as we would want it to be. You know, there's still that muddled, it's somewhat muddled, and because you can't really capture that whole story in words. It's not, there are no words available to us, no vocabulary, no language, other than that language of experience and encounter
mm-hmm.
with Jesus that says to us there's more here than we can know or explain, kind of thing. So that's a kind of an outfit when the sermons don't make so much sense. when we were not very clear.
It's just that's mystery.
Why you chose John.
It's just mystery.
That's right.
Why you
just
chose
mystery.
John, right?
Right?
I was like, so, yeah. You know, why John?
Yeah.
This is why.
Yeah.
So you cannot make sense and blame
right.
it on the Bible.
That's exactly right. That's the plan.
Not
and he will do
sense
that.
And blame it on the Bible.
Over
that's...
and over
again. He will do that over and over again. You all hit on this some. Or a lot, actually, but I don't think it was like brought out to like if you really highlighted on how Jesus is depicted differently in John
right.
than the other three Gospels. So I know a lot of times when we think of the Gospels, we roll through them real quick, you know,
right.
and you chose John for a reason,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus is depicted so like, can you help us like that don't know off the top of our heads, you know, can you just sort of highlight
right.
on that difference of Jesus in John?
Right. Well, one thing maybe to talk just a little bit about John himself, and this is, we think, the oldest of the Gospels.
Okay.
So that means a couple things. Means that he probably had some, you know, sense of what, you know, there, whether it was collected or not, other stories that were being told. And so you always have to think, why did, you know, John tell the story the way he did?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, late in the deal, he really, I think he wanted us to really have a sense of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, a relational, you know, the tenderness that he understood
right.
of Jesus. N.T. Wright says, like, compare Luke's gospel and John's gospel. Luke's like, I want to give you an orderly account of everything
right.
that da 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 da, and John's like, let me take you up to the mountain and you can see as far as, you know,
yeah.
on a clear day you can see for miles. He wants you to feel that awe about Jesus. The encounter of Jesus, so then use, as you said, uses more abstract language, or, and there's much more, like there are several I am statements in John that help us understand who Jesus is. So
right.
they're different. So like, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd.
Right.
I am the bread of life, the resurrection,
yeah. Yeah.
the living water.
Right.
Those are all titles in John that we really don't see either
yeah.
at all anywhere else or explained as well in the other Gospels. And a big theme in John is light.
Mm-hmm.
So that Jesus, you know, get out of the beginning, that Jesus is the light of the world.
And there's not as many signs or miracles in John because it is this conversation of Jesus talking about himself. And that his witness is confirmed by what he does, but you don't have a whole lot of what he does. You know, you have some miracles, but mostly what you have are these encounters with people, these
right.
conversations that are not what we expect. And they don't, you know, none of them are as straightforward as we would want them to be.
Right.
And so there's this sense in which we're invited into this mystery and to be part of it. We, you know, in the other Gospels, John is depicted as the one that Jesus loved. And John talks about himself that way, as the one who was perhaps closest to Jesus. And so he's got that experience that he's trying to, like I think like Adam said, he's trying to
okay.
give this help us experience that same
help
thing.
He loved Jesus like
yeah.
he loved Jesus.
Right, yeah.
Isn't that a great thing?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like the encounter, some of the encounters you mentioned, I think is really a helpful frame to think. It kind of just goes from Jesus encountering this person to this
right.
person to this person. So you've got John the Baptist and then the disciples in John 1. And then we're going to go to Nicodemus in John 3. And then the woman at the well in John 4. So... it is just sort of rolls from one person
right.
to another, one encounter to the next.
Yeah.
And the idea that we're going to be looking for is how in the story of Jesus, our stories change. And each of these people encounters Jesus. And this is not like a manufactured thing. It's not a
yeah.
fake thing. It's almost just the natural reaction
yeah.
to the encounter with the Word of God, or you know, the living,
right.
the God in the flesh. It's not, and I think that's helpful for
yeah.
those of us who are trying to figure out what
right.
to do, like
yeah.
encounter Jesus. You
yeah.
know, so what I mean, well, how do you do that in three easy steps? How do I encounter Jesus? You
yes.
know, and preachers
yeah.
are so bad about
yeah.
like wanting to give us like this
yeah.
is what And I think as we've reflected, and even today and in some of our planning, it's like, you know, the goal is to do what John did, is just to try to get out of the way, to strip back the layers and just let, you know, it's not like we have to make Jesus cool or relevant or popular. Jesus is beyond unbelievable, right? Yeah. So the most important thing is for us to just let Jesus be Jesus, and our natural response becomes pretty much everything. You know, it becomes compelling to other people. It becomes clear what we ought to be doing. We find the grace that we need and the challenge that comes with it all at the same time. Yeah. So that's like, and that's what I would, you know, I hope at the end of this, we all kind of just kind of remember, Jesus is unbelievable.
Right.
And we get the fact that we would get distracted by that says a lot more about us than it does about him.
Yeah. And that we are, all of us, invited into these and are experiencing these kind of encounters all the time. And there is this, you know, there's nothing uniform about them. Every encounter is different.
Yeah. Messy, human.
Right. And some people get a little more of it than other people, but
some people get it right away. Right. Some people kind of marinate.
Right. Yeah, it takes a while. And so there's all these different things and we kind of get this feeling that John picks these out of thousands of encounters that he saw, that he watched. And so these are just kind of examples of what it means to encounter Jesus. And he always meets people, you know, where they are, and he takes them from there. And then we have, in between those, we have some expansion on his teaching about who he is. And it's as if he's pretty confident in who he is and in his willingness and his ability to find us and to invite us into this story and help us find our way. And so, while it's not three clear steps, he never sits down and says, this is how it happens. But over and over again, he says, you know, this is who I am, and I want you in this.
So if we're tempted to think that this story is about us seeking God, in John we find out that it's God seeking us. And that's
key.
Is all the difference in the world. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's nothing for us to do.
Right.
There is.
Yeah, and that's part of the good news.
That's part of the good news,
right,
is like
we
there is something
to be part
to,
of
yeah,
it. Yeah.
There is something.
We're not the star, we're not the center, it's not our story, but we get to participate in God's story as he saves the world. We're invited to he creates the possibility and the opportunity for us to be part of it. There are things for us to do. That's the good news. That's not the bad news. That's the good news.
One great description of, like, so practically, how do you do that? How do you follow Jesus? This is not maybe practical, but it's a little metaphorical. But so if it's John, probably, and if I confuse you, again,
that's
it's his fault. But like, in trying to figure out what to do, I think we get impatient, or we want to know the answers, or we want to be further along than we are, or we lag behind. So somebody said, like, walking with God is sort of like walking with a preschooler. You know, like, they will not stay with you, right? It's like, just stay with me, hold my hand, this will be fine, right? But what does preschool want to do? Yeah. Like, get way out ahead, out where it's dangerous, and they can't handle it, and you can't get there quick enough to help them. And so it's like, that's not it. Or you can't, you're dragging them along, and it's like, come on, and they're kicking and screaming because you're rebellious or whatever. And neither one of those works. So a relationship with God is just learning to be there with your father.
Exactly.
Your parent who loves you and is wants good things for you and wants you to be safe and wants you to feel, you know, warmth and love and care.
And do you think, maybe this is heresy, but we've been there before. I think that's a good picture, but sometimes I think walking with God is like walking with a toddler, and God is the toddler. He won't do what I want him to do. He won't speed
up.
He's jerking
me over like a dog
on
a leash.
He's jerking
me
all
over the place.
There's no order to it.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like meandering around, and you know, it's not as nearly as orderly or straightforward as I want it to.
Yeah, because you get the impression in John that Jesus can't be tamed.
Right. No, absolutely.
Right. I think it was at N.T. Wright we were reading, one of the things we read, like, this is why we nail the pews down to the ground, because if they're loose, who knows what might happen, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, because we would want it controlled.
We want to be in control.
And he refuses to do that. So God's a preschooler. He just drags us everywhere.
Yeah. Or the wind blows where it will.
Right, yeah.
In scripture. So it's not heresy. Right. Good job.
Jesus said it. Yeah. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. And they don't listen. They don't do what we want them to do.
Right. God is not. This is not.
We were arguing about that this morning.
This is not us getting God to do what we want God to do.
Right.
This is not. This that's not the story that we're living or we're telling. Right. Yeah. And as much as we try to
want that story.
Yeah. Why we tend to want that is.
Yeah. When we
control.
Can be part of this bigger
because
story.
We want control.
Yeah.
Right.
What's Sunday sermon about? What is Sunday sermon? Who's the first up? The first encounter.
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
And it's pretty great. It's a pretty great story, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away.
Right. And it kind of, has a twist to it. So.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You have to listen to the end of the sermon.
You have to stay alert the way through.
Last week, they gave it all to you. They said, hey, there's going to be 10 weeks on Jesus. This week, they say, nope, you got to show up on Sunday. We're not giving you anything. Show up Sunday morning.
That's right.
And wait till the end.
Yeah, you sleep through the first part.
Yes. But also, as I mentioned earlier, we are in with the school calendar. And so last Sunday was promotion Sunday, so all the kiddos moved up. But then this Sunday, we'll be launching Rhythm for our middle and high school kids. So
at
9:30. I'm glad you said that. It's an assumption in my head. It's at the Melrose campus at 9:30.
For 6th through 12th graders.
Yes. I got that part down. Or 6th. Well, middle school. When I was at home, middle school was 6th grade.
Yeah.
It's not that way here anymore.
Right.
Anyway, I made it without laughing throughout the whole Q&R. I'm super excited. I'm so glad that you were here with us, and we just hope that you'll join us back next Wednesday at noon for Q&R and Sunday morning to hear what happens with Jesus and John the Baptist. Have a great week.
Bye, guys.